This is Golf with Jay Delsing. A two-time All-American at UCLA. A participant in nearly 700 PGA Tour events. 7 professional wins to his credit. Over 30 years of professional golf experience. A member of the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
Golf with Jay Delsing on a Sunday morning on 101 ESPN, coming to you from the CarShield Studios. We're presented by Daugherty Business Solutions. That's Jay Delsing. I'm Dan McLaughlin. A couple of great guests coming up. We're going to tell you about that in just a moment. But first, Jay got up off the floor, into his chair, into the studio, and has recovered from last weekend's Ryder Cup.
I know. Good morning.
Good morning. Have you recovered?
Oh, Danny, I don't know, man. I can't wait to talk about this with you. It's just so fun to do this show with you. And watching that, it's like we've seen this bad movie. We've seen this ending before, but the way they started, there's a lot to unpack here. I really look forward to being with you.
Our guests will include our number two, Chris Nagel, who calls St. Louis home, competes on the Korn Ferry Tour. He'll be in studio with us. And also, really looking forward to this, Vance Crowe will be our guest. And just give our fans and our listeners a little bit of a teaser who Vance Crowe is.
Yeah, so first of all, Vance is a great guy. He's a St. Louis, and he grew up not too far from here in southern Illinois. But he's one of those interesting people that you meet in your life, Danny, that I don't know anyone like him. He when we first met, he didn't know anything about golf, but he's done podcasts, and he's always been in the ag business, the agricultural business. He's a nationally renowned public speaker and things like that. He founded Legacy Interviews, which is super, super cool. You and I talked a lot about how cool his business is, but basically Vance is kind of like an expert in communicating, and he's just a really fascinating guy. And so we're talking and kind of mixing, you know, like the pro-ams and these opportunities to meet and blend people into the game of golf. And how do you make that, you know,
work for business?
Yeah. How do you make it work for business? And how does that, you know, how does that pan out? And how, you know, golf, as you and I have seen, is such a uniter. It just brings people together from all walks of life. And Vance is the perfect guy to kind of help the communication flow.
So he'll be with us in hour number one, Chris Nagel in hour number two. Ryder Cup 16.5 to 11.5. The Euros win it. And they started 4-0, and that really set the tone, didn't it, in day one?
It did, Danny. So we both off the air looked at each other and said, okay, someone, not us, would give us $1,000, who we got to put it on. We go in red, white, and blue, and we both said the same thing. Our hearts are all over the red, white, and blue. The back of our mind was like,
The smart play, yep, the money play was Europe.
Yep.
And they showed it.
Listen, here's first of all, you got to help me with this. Of all the things that you come out with, I could see you come out crazy overhyped, crazy nervous, and balls are flying everywhere because you're hitting it over the green. You're doing all this stuff because you are so jacked up. To come out flat?
Yeah.
Danny,
and they did.
And you know what? It makes me wonder. None of our guys played other than JT, who, let's be honest, he had a nice Ryder Cup. Was he outstanding? No, but was he better than most on our team? Probably. He and Max Homa were the only guys that played in the Fortinet Championship, the only guys that had played an event in the last 5 weeks prior to. And Europe did exactly the opposite, D. They played, you know, well, it wasn't exactly the week before, but it was almost the week before on the DP World Tour.
And you lead me into one of the questions I was going to ask you is that was the key, outside of being a very talented team that was put together, and you could make a case that they had the 6 top players in the world, maybe even 6 to 8, you could make that case.
Right.
But was the key to the Euros winning on home soil now for 30 plus years. The fact that they mapped out that course, there's a tremendous amount put into being the home team, if you will, and pin placement and that kind of thing. But they were there for a long time and understood, and it looked like they were just so familiar with the course.
Oh, Danny, 100%. We talked about this before. They play an event on the DP on their tour at Marco Simone. These guys have played that course 50, 60, 70 times. They've competed in it. Our guys, 3 or 4. That's a huge difference. The other thing is, and how cool is it that we got to have Luke Donald on the show and talk
Phenomenal.
About all
Just
this
a few
stuff.
Weeks ago.
I know. And he told us, yeah, we're into the analytics. We're examining all the numbers. We are going to know exactly how to set this golf course up. And what was really interesting to me, how many drivable par fours do they have? It was like three. And Danny, you know why? Because the U.S. are great wedge players, and they didn't. And so they're better than Europe, and they're all the analytics support that. So they push the tees up to take that, you know, 60, 70, 80 yard wedge out of the American repertoire, and they did it on three holes. And if you look at it, I mean, we saw Jordan Spieth hit it in the water on 16. We saw Ricky Fowler hit it in the water. It was really interesting the way that they used the analytics. And I really believe that the Euros do a better job than we do at setting the golf courses up. Now, when we go to Bethpage, Danny, that is going to be a bomber's paradise. And right now, that's
with a New York crowd. Can you imagine a New York crowd after the beatdown that the United States just took?
Oh, and every single person in that crowd is going to take that personally.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, they do anyway. And you add a little bit of sauce on top of that, it's going to be ruckus.
Rory McIlroy goes 4-1-0.
Yep.
Steps up big time in the absence of Sergio Garcia, yep. Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter.
Great.
He is the face of the European team, and he stepped up and played in a big way.
You know, Danny, he's not only that, he's coming into like the face of golf now that Tiger is injured
and we love
him for so much of that.
He's taken up the face of golf because of Liv
right.
and what's happened so much, and he's been kind of at the forefront of this. Every press conference, every tournament asked about that. So I'm with you. I think he is the guy now when you talk about golf.
He's the guy, and you know what the problem with the U.S. team is? We don't have a dude. They've got you could take. Rory is 1 and John Rahm is 1A. And let me tell you, Victor Hovland is 1A and a half. I mean, he is young, but coming into his own and taking on a lot of these responsibilities. And Danny, we don't have a dude.
So let me ask you, would you have been happy with Patrick Reed, DJ, DeChambeau? Would you have rather seen that group there?
Absolutely. Danny, that's what we had to talk about, right? Well, here's what we knew going in, and we said this. If our guys don't perform, which they didn't, now comes this game, who we should have considered. I mean, no one would have had any trouble if Lucas Glover was on that team. No one would have had any trouble if Keegan Bradley was on that team. Now you take the three key live players, DJ, DeChambeau, Patrick Reed. First of all, what did we say? DJ went 5-0
at Whistling Straits
the last time we had it. And has he played particularly well? No. Does it matter, Danny? Does it matter in that exhibition tour that he's playing on? Can you judge how well he's playing just because he had a top 10 in what, the U.S. Open, and that
an
was
8 or a 9 or whatever it was,
right? So he was really in with a chance with if he makes a par instead of a whatever that number he made,
right?
So it makes you wonder. But
I also think you need a great villain on your side. You need somebody that is willing to take the abuse of the fan base and not only take it but then thrive on it. And I think Patrick Reed, I think DJ, I think Koepka to an extent.
Yep.
These guys had jumped to live. And have been at times the face of the American team, and it was almost like this group didn't have that when you think about the U.S. team.
Well, Danny, look at the way
they embrace that kind of thing,
right? And Patrick Reed, he loves the black hat.
Yeah,
loves the black hat. DeChambeau, It doesn't. I mean, you don't. It, whatever you say about Bryson DeChambeau makes no difference to him because he is going about this thing half upside down and left-handed, right-handed. However he sees it, he doesn't care. That doesn't affect him. DJ is one of those guys where he's like, let's just go the next hole. Let's go play. Let's do this. And this conversation is alive and well because we chose this U.S. team like it was a boys' trip. I mean, listen, Jordan Spieth was a captain's pick. He's extremely capable. He had a horrible Ryder Cup. JT, Jordan's best buddy, he had a decent, better than average Ryder Cup. Colin Morikawa hasn't played well in a while, Danny.
I agree. And we talked about that going into this. Would you take him? Yes, you're going to take him, but you're going to put him on certain pairings that would put him on the pedestal of what everybody's watching. When you need to jump out, you need to get a point.
Yep.
He just wasn't the guy there.
Nope, he didn't. He didn't deliver. I mean, Ricky Fowler, and we love Ricky Fowler on this show. Ricky Fowler is a great human being and a hell of a player, right? He's played in 4 Ryder Cups, and he's played in 17 matches, Danny, and over four Ryder Cups and brought home 5 points.
He's 3-9-5 all-time, and he went 0-2-0, obviously, at the Ryder Cup this past weekend.
Yeah, and the whole conceding, it's hard for me to even
say. I was going to ask you, what did you think?
Listen, we're going to lose anyway. I don't think that's why we lost. However, if you're playing me, you've got to crush my skull.
I got to make you make that putt.
You have got to
with everything
on the
line.
How do you crush my skull? You make that 2-foot, 8-inch putt.
100%.
You do not get that putt with me.
I'm shocked when he did that.
You don't.
Were you shocked as a former player?
Shocked.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
So now it's over.
Exactly.
I mean, listen, he's got to probably make it, but that's why you play the game, Danny. Right. Go make it. What if he doesn't?
Now, on the flip side,
yeah,
there was a bright spot for the Americans,
yes,
and that's Max Homa, 3-1-1.
He was absolutely outstanding. I got to tell you, he played his ass off. He played in every single match, and I was amazed at how well he handled everything. D. They played him in everything. The alternate shot, the best ball. He went out and won his individual match. I mean, not easy to do. Love the kid. Love the way he is. We have watched him on this show, and you know, we have our other show, Beyond the Fairways, where we talk about, you know, the betting side of, and we have watched Max Homa just climb up the ladder in confidence, in victories. He's got 6 wins on the PGA Tour now, and then he looked like he was so at home over there, Danny. How about the walk-off chip?
Oh, it was awesome.
That's Tiger-esque.
Exactly.
That was bad ass. I love that.
Well, at that point, I thought the Americans might be able to get some momentum and say, okay, there's light at the end of the tunnel here. We can see it. There's a little glimmer of hope.
Yep.
And you thought, all right, they have a shot. And yep, it just didn't happen.
Danny, starting off 0-4.
That was the key to me.
I agree with you. It's like playing a baseball game and you're down 6-0 after 3.
Yeah, you're just trying to play catch
up. I mean, you're like, well, maybe we can score 7.
Right.
But I don't. Yeah, that's just tough.
What do you think of the pairings on the American side?
Head scratchers.
Why do you say that?
So, Scottie Scheffler's world number one, right?
How about him in tears?
Did you see
that?
I did.
Yeah.
So, he and Brooks Koepka get the biggest whipping in the history of the Ryder Cup.
Shocking.
9-7. But that pairing is an interesting pairing to me. Two kind of oil and vinegar, oil and water sort of characters,
yeah,
you know? And sometimes that mixes. But, Danny, the bottom line is, I don't think, like, if I am Zach Johnson, and in the first match of the first day, I don't put Sam Burns and Scottie Scheffler together. They're too nice. I don't do it. I get it. They could play well. They certainly can. I want heart, soul, guts. I want JT out there with someone. Maybe JT and Koepka. Maybe JT and – I know Jordan Spieth had a horrible – Jordan Spieth had a
horrible – It's tough to watch.
You know, Danny, here's another guy. He just he and his wife just had their second child 10 days ago.
Yeah. So where's his mind?
It's not his fault. I mean, come on.
Yeah.